The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show.
Hey, Cleaning Nation. Good to be with you today. We kind of have a fun one today. We just did an AMA. So, Lindsay's fantastic with her themes, trying to get stuff you guys will like. But every now and again, it's fun to just let Lindsay's hair down. Well, actually, hers is up and I got nothing to let down. So let our proverbial hair down, put on an Exorcist t-shirt and just ask whatever the rest of you guys want. And sorry for those of you on the podcast. If you want the visual, you'll have to join us. I guess on YouTube, if you want the recording, or jump in the Facebook group. If you just Google Grow My Cleaning Company Facebook group, we'll come up. You can join. It's free, 15,000 others, and then you can join us live. All right. That said, Lindsay, let's jump in with the first ask. Actually, I'd like the AMA because I'm a complete narcissist. Ask Mike anything. AMA makes sense, right?
Totally. All right. So we actually are starting up with a follow-up from last week with Angel's cleaning service. So Angel, here's the original question Angel's asked. Working with property management companies, how do we get them to pay sooner than usual net 30? And you had said, Mike, that you wanted more details on what Angel is doing. So Angel got back to me and said, this is for regular building cleanings on a biweekly basis. They say they will only pay at the end of the month after services are completed. Is there any way to get around this and have a net 15 pay from the first of the month?
Great question. So a couple of things. One, I hate the word biweekly because sometimes that means every other week and sometimes it means twice a week. It probably really means one thing if we looked it up in Webster's, but it's been used so many different ways, it's hard to tell what Angel means in the circumstance. So for me, as a commercial cleaning company, I would only take weekly as the minimum frequency. I'd really be looking for two or three times a week. And five times a week would be my goal. And I would also have a minimum monthly charge of, depending on how big my company was, at least $500, probably closer to $1,000. On the commercial side, obviously that's not the case for residential. For residential, every other week is great, but for commercial, every other week is nutball. So we'll assume, hopefully, what Angel means is twice a week, which is fine. Okay, that said, I'll tell you first how I learned this lesson of getting people to pay in advance, and then I can kind of give you some other tactical tools to get it. So, so many years ago, when I was much younger, I was married to my ex at the time, my wife, my now ex-wife, and she left and took everything with her financially, emotionally. I was just done, literally bankrupt, emotionally bankrupt, actually bank, financially, all the bankrupts you could be. That was me. And it was awful. So I had built businesses prior, and being young and uneducated and not experienced in business, anytime I could get a big contract, I was like, oh yeah, like, you know, obviously Lindsay knows. And if she says like they pay net never, I guess I'll just do that. And I didn't want to say anything because I'd be perceived as young or dumb, which I was both. So who cares if they found out? So I kind of just went along to get along. It's like, I need these big accounts. I guess I'll just take whatever payment terms that they have. When the financial devastation came upon me, I literally had no money. So I was in contracting, and if I was going to do a $20,000 project, it might take $10,000 in materials, right? We were actually building things, you know, and I was bankrupt. So I didn't have any credit line, you know, all my credit line, everything was gone. I was starting for nothing. So I'd literally have to go, hey, Lindsay, I don't have any money. So if you want me to do this job, I'm happy to, but you're going to have to pay me half up front. Never mind, pay me when you're done. Like, I don't even have the money to buy the goddamn materials. And I'll be honest with you, if there's any other way I could have figured it out, I would have figured it out. That is an embarrassing, hard to have conversation, right? And I was sure that nobody would take it, right? It's just a bad deal. Who's going to do it? And again, in construction, we're dealing with architects and city planners and used to all this net never, blah, blah, blah. And I'll be danged if, and again, I'm going by memory, this is 20 years ago, feels like 80, 90% of the people said yes. Certainly more than enough that I needed. And I got paid half in advance. And that was that. So I got the lesson, and it was very expensive and painful for me. You can get the lesson for free. Now, did I lose some accounts? Yeah, maybe, probably, sure. But how much bad debt did I have? None. And I guess I had some exposure, right? Because I was getting paid half at the end. And, you know, we were a contractor, so we could put a mechanics lien on. There's also, you know, this crap you could do, but that was very expensive. It would take forever. You know, $10,000 balance due, it would have cost probably $10,000 to collect. So anyway, all that to say, I learned when I didn't have a choice and I wasn't negotiating, I was just like, this is how we do it. Then that's how we did it. That was just that. Like, there was no fussing around with it. And let's take it to the cleaning industry now. Say our cost of goods sold are about half, right? So if we're doing $1,000 a month, and, you know, that means we got to pay $500 to, you know, not including overhead. Like, there's other expenses, but just for the labor. So we build them $1,000. We're in at 500, assuming there's no other expenses, which there are. And say they just do regular net 30. And I know you said something different, but that means I can't even submit. Let's just call it January 1st. I can't even submit my January bill till January 31st after I'm in at $500 and they owe me $1,000. And I can't even ask for the money. I mean, I can, but the agreement states I'm not entitled to the money until 30 days after that. So now I'm $2,000 into the debt they owe and $1,000 into money out of my own pocket, right? And typically our systems and processes aren't such that net 31, I call them and be like, hey, let's go, right? We wait another 10 or 15 days after that. And they don't tell you I was trying to scam you the whole time. They give you some story about Lindsay in accounting or purchasing, and she's on vacation, and she, of course, she's gonna blah, 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 blah. And I could easily be 90 days into this goddamn thing, which is them owing me $3,000, me having written a check for $1,500 for payroll, and now I'm begging. And the only leverage you have is to stop cleaning. But the problem is, when they owe you $3,000 and you have already paid $1,500, and you say, I'm not going to clean, like, fantastic, we'll never pay you. And now we'll just get some other chump, and it's worth the $3,000 to yada, yada. So that's why I feel so strongly about that. And is it okay? Would have you rather known that was going to happen and just said, hey, I'm going to not take that deal and risk losing it? Yeah, I would. Right. And here's the common things I hear where they pay, they've always paid. Everybody always pays until they don't. Right. Like, it's Enron was a multi-billion dollar company, and they paid until they didn't. They took probably tens of thousands of people with them, and billions of dollars of equity evaporated. So what I found in the cleaning industry, and this is different in contracting, so it's actually better in the cleaning industry, there's only a couple of reasons people won't do net 30. One is they don't have the money, or they're very, very tight on money. And you got to understand, if you're cleaning $1,000, $2,000 further just to maintain the building that they're renting, this is a multi-million, probably a multi-$10 million company, if not larger. If your $1,800 is hard to pay, you'd rather know that before you're in debt with them, right? So obviously, if they can't pay, let's just opt out. That's not a job. You know, it's one of the contracting sayings, it's better to lose a winner than win a loser. So let's just lose that loser if they can't pay. The second thing is they're trying to manipulate their cash flows to make money on their cash flow, right? So say, because you're not their only receivable, they might have a couple $1,000,000 a month of receivables. And it's like, hey, if we don't pay that for 60 days, that couple $1,000,000 of receivables could be worth tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in capital we can do. You put that over, you know, decade, it's a very sensible thing to do. So it's not that they're wrong or they're bad, and they're probably getting stuck with their people, right? That they're shipping on, they're wanting that. So it's just a game that goes round and round. So it's very common, nothing wrong with that. But when you put it into context, and this is what I was forced to do when I was broke. Hey man, I know this is a big multi-million dollar project and my little piece is only $28,000 or whatever the case may be. I don't have the money. I'm sure you could cut my throat and just get another vendor tomorrow who'll do it for the same or less with your terms. Nothing I can do about that, but I promise I'll do a good job. I'll have your back. And this would be a really big, this would be huge. And I'll be dang if people didn't do it. So if you tell them, hey, I get what you're trying to do, and or it's not them typically, it's the CFO, the, you know, somebody else above them that's doing it, it's fine. But if you just tell them, hey, I know the $1,800 to you guys is nothing. You probably have more than that in accounting errors every month. So to you, it's really literally nothing. And I'm not asking for more money than I'm worth. I'm just saying I'd like to get paid in advance. To me, it's a big deal. Like, off that $1,800, I got to pay $900 in salary because I'm a little company. I'm always going to pay my payroll. So if you stiff me, to you guys, it's like, haha, we made an extra nickel. to me, it's a big deal. And there's really only one or two ways they can respond to that. One is, you're right, we have this net 30 thing for kind of larger vendors where, you know, it's tens of thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we need that money. And it's not particularly, you know, it's big company to big company. If somebody gets stiffed or whatever, it's all just fine, fun and games, right? So either they're going to go, fine, well, we get it. It's a big deal to you. Move on. Or they're going to go, we don't care. If we can make $100 off that interest and it, and you die for it, or it kills your company or you and your people, don't care. Not someone I want to do business with anyway, right? So either way, whether it's I can't afford it or I don't really care whether you live or die, those are neither. I'm okay getting told no by those people. So a lot of it's just the confidence. And I got to tell you, the things that we coach are nice when you're little, but they're a big deal when you're big. I use a story when I had my first seven-figure exit. I think we had almost $1 million in receivables, which didn't seem like a lot until you realize that if I had that company now and probably be a lot bigger, I'd have $2 or $3 or $4 million in receivables. I would have never collected that money till I sold. Like, it just turned and turned and turned and turned. And you feel like a big man, big, well, I got $1 million owed to me. Like, great. Can you buy dinner with that? No, I can buy. And it churns because you're like, well, I finally collected it. Yeah, but there's $1 million more replacing it. And God forbid you grow, the $1 million is replaced by $2 million. So it's a big deal when you're just doing 5, 10, 20 grand a month. Cash flow is not that big a deal, but I promise you, when you're doing 100, 200, 300 grand a month, all that money coming in, boom, at the beginning of your month without you having to do anything, you have no idea. So it gets to be a big deal. Angel, hope so. Short answer, the way to get that is just say, that's what I require, and be okay getting, I would much rather be $1 million company getting all paid in advance than $1.5 million company having to get net 30, net 60. And you're like, and I promise you, two-thirds or a third of the people aren't going to say no. If they are saying no because of cash flow terms, you did a bad job selling, right? Like, our clients all pay in advance and because they see value. And if we had a client that's like, well, if I could do it in payment, but I'm like, well, then don't do it. Like, if we're not bringing a value to you that when you pay me is going to, you're going to go someone, go with that other guy, right? Like, it's a value proposition issue, not a payment terms issue. So that's the big philosophical, and I know we're going long, but this is a big one, guys, gals, and I feel like I haven't ranted on it in a minute. So that's that, just demanding it confidently. Again, when I had no money, I was wildly confident I could not do the job. Like, I wasn't bluffing. I didn't have the money. So I could, like, dude, I could tell you I'll get started on the job, but unless I go steal it, which I ain't going to do, I don't have the material. So I had supreme confidence that I needed to get paid up front because I needed to get paid up front. And all right, one more rant, and then I'll kind of give you one other couple ways to do it. Guys, you're not a bank, right? You know the banks, you know where they get their money? The government prints it and gives it to them. They don't have to go earn it. It's not even their money. They just write a note and the bank's like, and the government's like, okie dokie, there's your $1 million. Like, it's not even their money. So when they lend money and they do credit pulls on you and they have security and they charge late fees and they charge interest, and this is their whole job. Everybody on their team's just doing this one job. And you're like, I'm going to do it in my spare time for no interest and no fees. And instead of the government writing the check, I'm going to write the check and no credit checks. I'm just going to go ahead and do it with no security or collateral whatsoever. That's insane. Like, that's just crazy. It makes no sense. So there you go. Rant over. The way to get it done is A, just being supremely confident, right? If you go in, hey, Lindsay, I'd really rather not do the net 30. Is there any way? She's like, nope, that's our policy. When you just go, well, here's the deal. We're a little company. These are real employees that I have that they need this money. And frankly, my family needs this money. So if you can't pay me for 2 or 3 months, I'm not your partner. If you want someone that's going to kick ass, take names and focus on making you happy, making you look good and just doing the best, so you and your facility management is off your plate, I'm your guy. But you got dang well got to pay for it. And you got to pay for it up front because I don't have any time for collections. I only have time to kick butt and take names, and collecting money or begging for my own money ain't part of it. That kind of energy 90% of the time is going to be fine. If you absolutely must, take a discount, right? Especially if you're dealing with the government, there's some companies and lots of governments that have by law have to take a discount. If you're like, hey, you know, they'll go, you know, net 210, net 30, 2% discount if you pay within 10 days, or you can do net 30. Do the debt come discount, right? So if you have to, or offer an upgrade in service or just do something. So if you have to entice them. But for me, I would literally rather take a little bit more money and get paid up front. Same with credit card fees, right? It's like 3%. But if I get my money right now, it's worth it for me not to have any of the risk, right? So All right. Hopefully, Angel, that answers your question. One, be wildly confident. Two, understand why it's such a big deal. Three, understand that if they're not going to do it, there's a reason. And that reason is typically they don't care about you because they're either can't pay or won't pay either way. Is that really someone you want to do business with? And three, if you have to sweeten the pot a little bit, sweeten the pot a little bit. Hey, amazing people. You may have noticed we don't sell a dadgum thing on this podcast. We don't allow ads. The only ask I can ever have of you guys is if you dig the show, for you to spread the word and share so we can change as many lives as possible. Literally, it'll take you 5 seconds to give us a great review, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you as a listener and value the gift of your kind words. Now, back to the show. That may be the longest answer I've ever done on these Ask Me Anything. Lindsay's like, I had 9 questions, Mike, but I guess we'll do 2. Thank you very little.
I was on mute, so you wouldn't hear me saying yes, yes, like absolutely. Like you just took me to church and I'm wearing an Exorcist shirt and the guy's name was
Angel. Where's my amen, lady?
Just I was getting amen. Preaching, yeah, like that just came full circle. Yeah, that was like one of my top 5 rants of all time for you. So
we should have to do that. Like at the end of the year, we'll do like pull Mike's pissiest rants or like angriest rants and we'll let the nation vote on best rant of the year.
Oh, that was a good one. All right. Next question. This I don't think has ever been asked before. Brianna in the Facebook group. Yeah, she said, at what point would you recommend to start the process of selling your business? Would there be a difference in the selling process if you have subcontractors instead of employees working for you?
Brianna, bring in the heat. That's a solid question, lady. Like specific, all the details I need, something answerable. Big virtual hug to Brianna. Okay. Yeah. There. Thank you. Lindsay's doling them out for those of you guys not on video. It's happening. Okay. So really good question. One of the things that we teach our clients, and I want to make sure that you guys get, is when we put people through our process, which is creating a business that's scalable, that is 30% net profit to the owner, and that you can run from anywhere in the world with less than 15 hours a week. That's kind of the system that we teach. If you're like, I would like that life. Great. That's the exact same system to sell your business. Right. So that's what they're looking for is how much money am I going to make and how much risk is there and how much upside is there? And is this a job? Right. So if you're every day you don't sell your business, you are buying your business with your time and your money. Right. The check you could have cleared for the cash, you're foregoing to own the business. Right. So every day you don't sell your business, you are buying it. So when should I start? Well, the way that she phrased it, Brianna, was when do I start the process of selling my business? I'm going to answer that question briefly, but I think what she really, that's not what she meant. So the answer to that is as soon as you've decided you'd like to sell your business. But what I think Brianna really wanted to ask, sorry, Brianna, and hopefully that answers your, if you're like, no, I asked what I asked, just answer my question. As soon as you've decided you want to sell it, you don't want it anymore, you want the money, that's when you should start the process of selling it. But for those of you, including Brianna, who are like, well, when do I start preparing my business for sale, which is sounds it's nuanced, it's a small difference, but it's a difference today, right? Because if your business is a big fat turd, A, you can't, no one wants it. And then B, you're the chump owning it, right? So it's very paradoxical. I forget who said it. I think it was Warren Buffett. He's like, buy when there's blood in the streets, right? When everybody else is panicking, you just go out there and buy the crap out of it, right? A lot of people, you know, not having no moral judgment on this, good or bad, but a lot of people got rich in COVID. Great time to buy stocks and everything took a dump. It's like, I got money. I'm not scared. Let's go. And then the opposite also happens. Everybody's into this asset or that asset. We're all buying that thing. You know, everyone kind of apes in, if you want to use the nerd, you know, what the kids are saying. Everyone jumps in and that's the wrong time to do it. So same thing with your business. Typically, when it sucks and we hate it and we're like, I would literally take a hug and a shiny nickel for this thing. Just get me the heck out. Obviously the worst time to sell, which is when we want to sell. My last business, the opposite, it was crushing. And I was just about to go to the next level, make a ton more money. It was a car dealership, but I didn't like the business, but the money side was just about to kick ass. And the broker that I'd done business with before had a buyer called me. I'm like, not even for sale. It's like, the guy just wants to meet. And I sat down what I thought were ridiculous terms in terms of payment and cash and price. And he's like, done. I'm like, well, if he knows those are the deal and they're non-negotiable, I will have lunch with the guy. We had lunch at the Mellow Mushroom at Norterra. I still remember it. Don't remember the date, but I remember the guy and everything else. And he's like, yeah, done. Let's go. And that guy ended up buying my business. Best time to sell, right? Because had he gotten, he actually did get a little score, like, oh, I think you're overcharging me on the, because, you know, there's the sell of the car. There's a bunch of stuff. There's some of the small terms. He's like, I don't know. I'm like, then don't buy it. Piss off. I'll just keep selling. I'll just keep running it. So the beautiful thing about preparing your business for sale is two things, where there's dozens of things, but I'm going to hit a couple. One, if you don't buy it, if you don't sell it, you're buying it. So wouldn't you rather have a business that is highly valuable and everybody wants because making a ton of money isn't a lot of headache? Yeah. Two, in the buying process or in the selling or buying process, whatever end of it you're on, especially sophisticated buyers will try and give you a haircut right at the end, right? So an unsophisticated seller, they hate the daggum thing. They're so freaking out. So as soon as they get the letter of intent or things start going, they're gone. I've seen guys buy boats and like plan vacations and do all sorts of crazy stuff. And the sellers, especially if they're sophisticated, are like, oh, we had $1.5 million. Literally at the closing, we'll give you $1.3 million or not. And the guy's already bought his boat. He's already checked out. And guess what? Because he's mentally checked out, the thing's tanked. Not tanked, but it ain't great, right? So the guy's just like, oh, I can't emotionally deal with this. So they take it. And, you know, they might have spent 5, 10, 20 years building this thing. And the seller's like, I just took, you know, X percent of your equity in 2 seconds because I was a little better prepared than you were. I contrast that without, and I do a lot of stuff, most things wrong, but every now and again, I'll hit a home run. I'll tell you about that. So I don't always brag about myself, but that same deal I did, no, the deal before that, my first $1 million exit or, you know, 7-figure exit was the guy had come to me and I told myself, oh, this is heartbreaking, by the way. I told my little, he's 26 now. So, you know, he's an adult, married, all that good stuff, but he was 12 at the time, I think, that we were going to go to Thailand and I was going to take him. And I was so excited about this trip. And you know how you guys, gals that own businesses, you know how this runs. Something was going on with the business. I couldn't take him or it would have been really tough. And I remember, I can still remember my truck. I remember the truck. I remember how he looked. I was like, dude, I give you my word. If you'll allow me to go back on my commitment to take you to Thailand this year, I promise you next year, promise you I'll take you. Hell or high water, we're going. And he just had a little tear come down his eye. It's like, okay, dad, it was so sad. But he said, okay, and he trusted me. And that next year was when this guy was contracted by my business. And I'd never been liquid before then. I'd made a lot of cash income, but this is the one I had the $1 million of receivables and I'd never been liquid, like just good to go. And he wanted to close like 2 months before, or not close, but we went under contract months before I was going on this vacation. And I told him, I will be on this vacation, period. Cause you know, there's no way I was gonna go back to my kid. And his bank futzed around and it took a little longer, blah, blah, blah. Literally closed, I think 72 hours before I got on that plane and I went to Thailand. And he was pissed. And I told him the whole time through, like, this is it, dude. And I'm like, you know, I'm supposed to stick around for 2 months and like help him and whatever. I'm like, I will wake up at midnight in Thailand because obviously the time zones are a little different. I will wake up and coach you. Any questions you have, I'm there for you. Or don't buy it. I don't care. But I will be in Thailand. And the business was running so smoothly. I could have been in Thailand for those 18 days or however long we were with or without. So that's where you want to be. And because I seen other guys mentally check out, I'd done the opposite. My business was worth more the 3 months after we contracted. So when he started getting squirrel, I'm like, dude, I'm just going to raise the price and sell it to somebody else. If I ain't go to Thailand without your bull crap. So really important, guys, gals, the answer to the question of when should I start selling my business, whenever you decide you want to sell it, when should I start preparing my business for sale today? Because you want a business that you're like, I love this thing. And what does prepared for sale look like? I found for me, culture. It's all the stuff that you're like, this is what you preach anyway. I'm like, I know. If you just do the stuff we're doing, your business will be prepared for sale. Or if you know one of our clients, they're already ready. Culture, all the business we've had, people are like, that's a cool thing. Like you build a cool kids club that people want to be a part of and they don't know how to do it. They know how to make money, but they don't know how to build culture. They will pay for that culture, almost anything. It's very soft, hard to put a number on it, but it's just that like, I want it and I don't care. Like rich people, I want what I want and I have money. So I just want it. So the money's not irrelevant, but I will pay more for what I want. So that culture that like, this is cool. I want to be a part of that. Like for those of you guys that are come to our events or see our team, it's a pretty cool vibe. Like when I wanted to sell, I would just point out to my amazing team and be like, these amazing humans, that's what you're buying. Like they're way smarter than I am. everybody, but yeah, whatever. So culture is number one. Two, having your books clean, 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 right? Like none of this, well, I put this in my pocket and I put, you know, I don't do this to the government. Like, good, you get nothing for that. So like, here's where every nickel of every dollar of every cent that came in since the beginning of time went to and came from. Here's exactly what we're making, and obviously high profits. That is big, culture is big, and then you not being a part of it, right? There's guys like, I made, you know, my business did 150,000 last year and I took home 63,000. Great. What did you have to do? Well, I clean 30 hours a week and work 50. I'm like, that's a job, dude. Whoever's going to buy this business could be like, I can make 60 grand a year, not having to clean toilets, just having a nice white collar job for nothing. Why would I give you any money for the privilege to do worse, a harder job for the same or less? It's nonsensical. So very different when you made that same 60 grand and you're like, oh, I do weekly meetings, monthly parties and quarterly reviews. And that's kind of it. Like I've got, it's really 0 to 15 hours a week and I can do it from anywhere. I travel the world. That $60,000 a year income stream is worth, well, something is worth a ton more, although it's worth more. It's just, it's sellable, whereas the other one's completely unsellable. So when you're competing with other $60,000 income streams, not only will you be able to get a premium, but it, yours will sell first and foremost. So those are the ones, tight, clean money where everyone knows where everything's going, nothing shady, a big fat culture that people are into, and systems and processes that allow you to be free. And you can show them how to grow. Like, oh, if I want to double or triple this thing, here's all the lead flow that we have. Here, you just turn it up. I've just been lazy and I want to, but here's exactly what to do and how to do it. That's the premium. So that's when you sell, how you sell, prepare for sale. I think we went way over. I think it's at least two questions, Lindsay. So this is a sad day. This is a sad day.
This was Mike Campion church day. Preach.
And I'm so sorry. There's other people that had questions. I love you guys. I'm so sorry. There's like just a bunch of questions we missed, but hopefully we Brianna and Angel and Cleaning Nation got some value. Anything to add before we wrap it, Lindsay?
That is it.
Cool. Guys, gals, if you are want to get your business ready for sale, if you want to get paid in advance, if you want to make more goddamn money and work less, feel free to shoot me an email, mike@growmycleaningcompany.com. If you have a question, email lindsay@support@growmycleaningcompany.com or just join the Facebook group. It's free. Growmycleaningcompany.com, over 1,000 of these podcasts, tons and tons and tons of free resources and community, all sorts of good stuff. Check it out. We'll see you there. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.